Patriot Studios. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
God bless the United States of America. Welcome, patriots, sons and daughters of liberty. It's July 14th, the year of our Lord 2013. I'm Uncle Bang, and Michael will not be with us today. He's got some issues he needs to take care of. But we've got a pretty good show today. We got Ike Hall from the Georgia Campaign for Liberty. He's going to come on and he's going to talk to us about some intensive training sessions that these guys are having up there, especially down in the Georgia area and in the South, actually. And then we also got Usama Dekdev that's going to be on here that's going to talk to us about Islam. And he doesn't hold it back, man. So we got two great guests, and it's going to be a great show. So tune in, stay tuned in, share it with your friends, and hopefully we will all learn something, because we're not going to take a break, okay? We're not going to take a break. As you all know, and you're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism, the number here is 718-305-7176. So get your calls in, and we'll try to get you screened and get you in the queue. You know, the past 24 hours here, everybody by now, I guess, unless you're living in a freaking cave somewhere, has heard about the George Zimmerman case, right? Well, you know, we got the loonies and the crazies, and they've come out in the last 24 hours, if not more, and it really doesn't surprise me that the loonies have always been there. They've always been there, and they've just been not so vocal, really, until now. But now they've got a cause, they've got a united mission that they can unite behind and follow. And the thing that we got football players on Twitter. These guys are losing their job. They're gonna lose their jobs, or they should. Let me put it that way. They should. We got politicians. We got poverty pimps. We got hood rats. We got Black Panthers, news people, and the occasional idiot homeless bum off the street that they'll put on, you know, on BSNBC to talk about the George Zimmerman case. But all the while, they call it the Trevin Martin case. So, you know, it's just the way they want to influence people. You know, George Zimmerman was the one on trial, not Trevin Martin. But in some aspects, you can say that Trevin Martin was convicted of a crime by the overwhelming acquittal of Zimmerman. Think about that for a second. Trevin Martin was convicted by a jury of his peers for his own murder, if you want to call it a murder. Now, some want to say that George Zimmerman was overzealous and is protecting what is his neighborhood, okay? It's the same thing, like I would protect my neighborhood if I seen somebody come in here that did not belong. They did not belong in my neighborhood. That's called profiling people. That's what we do every day. And if he was overzealous in his protecting what is his neighborhood, and some wanting to say that Trevin was just a poor black kid eating Skittles and whatever in the wrong place at the wrong time and drinking iced tea, I have to say that George Zimmerman had every right to protect what he thought was his. But you know what I also say? Bull crap. Put the record straight. Zimmerman was acquitted. Trevin was not charged and should not have been. Or Trevin was not charged, but he should have been. Zimmerman shouldn't have been charged. We did not have a court case to decide his fate, Trevin's, as he is dead, and I blame the poverty pimps for that. The same people that came in here, the same race baiters from the top feeders to the bottom feeders in the ocean of light. Well known. It's the Al Sharpins of the world, the Jesse Jacksons, the Louis Farrakhans, and the complicit media as well to cause the death of Trevin Martin. In my opinion, that young 12-year-old paraded around on the media as the Obama stepchild that everybody loved. And he's miraculously, when he's shot, he's a 17-year-old when he confronted George Zimmerman, who had every right to follow him and to profile him. Yeah, profiling. I do it every damn day. There's certain people that fit a model of what I don't want to hang out with, who I do want to hang out with, and I profile them to protect me and my family. We lost this ability to protect or to profile before 9/11. Look what happened back then. Yeah, you got the poverty pimps. They only come out when there's a race fight or a racial card to play. They are part of the problem. They're not all of the problem, but they're a big, big, major part of the problem. And if I can play just a little something for you, just a little ditty of Al Sharpton and how insane this guy is, I will.
The Reverend Al Sharpton joins us now. Your reaction.
Well, I think that this is an atrocity. I think that it is probably one of the worst situations that I've seen. What this jury has done is establish a precedent that when you are young and fit a certain profile, you can be committing no crime, just bringing some Skittles and iced tea home to your brother, and be killed, and someone can claim self-defense, having been exposed with all kinds of lies, all kinds of inconsistencies. We had to march to even get a trial, and even at trial, when he's exposed over and over again as a liar, he is acquitted. This is a sad day in the country. I think that we clearly must move on to the next step in terms of the federal government and in terms of the civil courts. Clearly, we want people to be very disciplined and strategic, but this is a slap in the face to those that believe in justice in this country.
Joanne Reed, you spent time down in that community. You talked to many of the people who were intimately involved. You walked in that neighborhood. You saw where Trayvon Martin...
Oh, yeah. You walked in that neighborhood. This is a slap in the face of justice. You know, we need to move on is what Reverend Al is talking about. He needs to move on, period. But what he's talking about is he needs to move on to the next step, and the next step is to incite racial hatred. The next step is to, the next step is to try to prop up and promote the next person that gets killed. But they won't go into the streets of Chicago. They won't go into Dearborn, Michigan and try to figure out why there's black-on-black crime all over the place. They won't do that. No. See, that's too hard for them. It's too up in their face. It's too logical. But justice for who, Mr. Sharpton? For Uncle Al? Because it seems so, because they don't care about their own people. They just call their people, just themselves. That's all they care about, line their pockets. I want to understand how fat and happy will we allow them to get. I reckon that's up for us to decide. Until then, we have to fight them at every corner and in the open. They will not win. They never have and they never will as long as we fight the race baiters and the poverty pimps. We have to keep doing this. Eventually, they'll die out. The Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, and the rest will die out of natural causes. And hopefully, some youngins with more competent blood, will come to smooth out the pothole road that these race baiters made. It's sickening. It's absolutely freaking sickening. Now, on that note, I'm going to bring in somebody here, and that would be Barbara.
Hello, how are you?
How are you? Oh, I'm fired up, man. I'm tired of these race baiters, and I'm tired. You know, I thought we had a, I didn't think we had a problem with race in this country anymore, really. Did you?
I totally agree with you. We, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. is rolling in his grave, seeing what is going on in this country, because everything that man worked for is being overturned by everybody that's up there now, the Al Sharptons of the world. You know, I really, you know, he was talking about the inconsistencies. Well, according to the whole jury, well, not the jury, the whole trial, there was no inconsistencies. George Zimmerman did not break any laws. He got out of the car and looked at the guy. You know, and if the kid's got the equipment, the Skittles and the iced tea, to make drugs, they brought drugs into it. Well, I knew that they were allowed to say that that Trayvon Martin had marijuana in his system. So that doesn't make the thing all that good either. Now, where's the spark here?
I don't think so.
Reverend Sharpton is so, for a man who's supposed to be educated, do you ever listen to him speak? He can't speak. You know, he sounds like the most uneducated moron there is on the planet.
One of the better videos of him speaking, well, you know, you go back to his past, you got Twana, you got all these people, you know, that he ran with back then, you know. But one of the best videos I've ever seen was him debating one of our own that comes on here occasionally is Representative Joe Carr. And Joe Carr put him right in his place.
Yep, he sure
I
did.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, and more people need to do that.
Yes, and that's the whole thing. More people need to get out there, and they need to get up in their faces, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sitting there watching some video of with some woman, I guess, the other day, you know, and it's not this race thing. It's just the attitude. It's this attitude where you want to just sit there and, like, slap somebody in the head, you know. The woman gets out and talking about an SUV being or a truck, and she's driving a Prius or something. Did you see that? Was that unbelievable? I mean, I need to get some audio of that. But
and I'm glad they were laughing at her, because she was ridiculous. It's not, you know, you're polluting the air, letting that SUV run. You know what? Then don't breathe it. That's what the guy said. And he was laughing at her because she made a total jerk out of herself.
Well, I would have sat there, and I probably, his wife got out of the car, I guess, and he was calling her back. And I don't even know if I would have just let her go off on her. Because she looked like a good redneck told me.
Because if it was me, I may have, but I would have gone face to face with her. And if I threw the first punch, then the other one would call the cop and say it was, you know, I threw the first punch, so I would get in trouble.
Well, that's why you have to just get them to try to throw the first one. You know,
I know.
It's kind of like a psychological game there. But Barbara, thanks for joining me. And our friendly local Republican spokesman, Duke Brooks, called himself a puliocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCartney and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? Get your week of dosage of high school, of old school conservatives, high school too, I guess, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Eastern, 6 Central, and conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Uncle Bing, you okay over there?
Yeah, I clicked something and took me off, so I'm trying to get back. But anyways, yeah, we got I call coming up, Georgia Campaign for Liberty, and the Libertarians, which is cool. I like that. And then we also have Usama Datuk from the Straight Way Ministry, and he'll be up in a little bit. I'm trying to get back in the studio, and here I go. Blog Talk Radio. You got to love it, you know.
Yeah. You know, I also wanted to say, too, that last night, I was right before the verdict, I was watching Judge Jeanine, and she had Jesse Jackson on. And oh, yeah, absolutely. And at one point, I thought she was going to go off on him. Just the way she was, she had the face that she had. She had to, she must have been looking at somebody saying, stay calm, stay calm. Because he was like, oh, yeah, we'll take the verdict as long as it's guilty, you know, of some sort. But when it came to time to say, well, if he gets acquitted, Jesse Jackson really didn't want to say, you know, he would accept that one. And then here they go to the DOJ to say, you know, do something more, civil rights. And, you know, you brought up Tawana Brawley. Do you know, that all happened here in my state. And so it was always forever on the news. Do you know she is in jail for, she's been in and out of jail. And now she's in jail for murder because she lit her boyfriend on fire?
Oh, no, really?
Yes, imagine that. You know, the girl had a second life handed to her. Handed to her. They put her through college. They gave her money for college to put her through college. And the whole nine yards. This woman could have had a whole change in life. But she chose not to. You know, that is not society. That was her choice at that point.
No, and no, that's power corrupts. That's power corrupts, you know. He ruined that girl. I mean, she probably ruined herself, too. I'm not going to sit there and blame everything on Sharpton. But the thing is that the guy won't, for one thing, look, he understands where a crisis is. And that's not just part of him. That's the way he was raised up. But it's being promoted now with the Obama administration big time. I mean, we've
right.
got he's just playing the race card left and right. And, you know, I don't know how you get around that. I really don't, other than education. You know, I know that in my family, I mean, we don't sit there and deal with nonsense like that. But these people do. They find a niche. You know, it's kind of like if you got a sore and you keep scratching it. You're never going to get rid of it.
Right.
It's just going to be there forever. And that's how these people do. And they keep doing this to keep their own people that they're trying to help, the ones that they're trying to help, to keep them in poverty, adjunct poverty. They want
yep.
them there because they can control them. They can manipulate them. They can sit there and cause riots and so on. Luckily, in this case, I think it was pretty clear to everybody that this was a non-case.
Mm-hmm.
This should never have to trial. You've got the sheriff down there in Sanford, Florida, that was fired, you know, because he didn't bring charges against this guy. And he even says, you know, we didn't have a case. We didn't have a case. They didn't have a case. And yet they still, and now they want to sit there and file a civil suit on them. we're fine.
Yep.
I guess go for it. And I like what his lawyer said. He said, go ahead. We're going to sue. We're going to sue the – I hope they do. I hope they sue the state of Florida's pants off. I hope they go after
everybody
involved in this. And BSNBC, them idiots over there can sit – I don't care. Well, you know, they can do whatever they want, all right? They can sit there and spout off. They can do whatever they want. But at the end of the day, I hope that they get sued too.
They deserve it.
Because they sat there and doctored – the video, with audio, I guess it would be, the audio tape, they doctored it.
Yes, and they finally came out and admitted it after an investigation over there. The other day, they were out there saying that they did. You know, if that doesn't lose them credibility, then I don't know what does with us normal people, if you want to call us that. They lost credibility a long time ago.
Yeah, but actually, somebody in chat room here is saying, you know, the ex-chief of police in Stanford should sue the state and the feds. And I agree. I think they ought to be. And I think this whole administration should be sued because they sent down the Department of Justice down there to gin up a bunch of, negative to gin this whole trumped up trial up, to get somebody convicted because it was an election year and that kind of, they don't care. See, that's the whole thing. The liberals and the Democrats don't really care about the people that they're trying to defend or the people that they're trying to protect. They only care about their own asses. That's all they care about.
And did you ever see Runaway Slave? That documentary was awesome, and it says just that.
Oh yeah, yep, definitely.
That they're slaves.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm going to bring in a couple other callers. I'm bringing Ron because I know Ron's got something to say about this.
Okay.
Hello, Ron. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, bud. I'm with you. I believe that Holder doesn't do anything that's not sanctioned by his butt buddy, Obama. And, I mean, Obama's as guilty as sin in this for jumping in and saying that, well, if I had a son, he'd look just like Trayvon. Well, maybe Trayvon was his son. Who knows?
I tell you what, if he's got all them tattoos on him, then I don't know, because I don't think Obama would get a tattoo.
But I'm so sick of us being our whole lives have been swallowed up by this Zimmerman case, and it's nothing but bullshit to get us off the mark. The people in Benghazi are still dead. We've forgotten about that in the midst, and that's exactly what this is all about: is keep us thinking about something else, so maybe Benghazi can cool off some. And it's wrong.
Well, you seem kind of on the fence on this issue there, Ron. I mean, do you think... Zimmerman was... do you think the outcome of the trial was correct?
Perfect. It should have... The outcome of the trial, as far as I'm concerned, hadn't happened yet. The outcome of it ought to be with Holder and all those people that tried this thing politically to make him guilty instead of letting the facts speak for it. Everybody that was on that, and that's the news media and everybody else that's been on it, they all need to be took out and whooped and put in jail and fined and whatever else you can do to them. And they're still, the NAACP is trying to get him charged with profiling and some kind of civil rights issue. You know, you can't, an individual can't be sued or can't be held accountable for profiling, like you said in your intro. We have to profile or we die.
If we let somebody in
our front yard that's carrying guns and weapons or could be, and we're letting them wander around out there, and we don't go out and confront them, then we're prisoners. We've got to profile.
We have to not just profile in our day-to-day lives at our homes and so on. We have to profile when we go out. when we go out in public. That's where we lost. We lost this this innate or this innate ability of human beings to actually sense danger, sense fear.
Well,
sense comfort.
I think we need to confront them too. That's where we got wrong over a long time, and I'm probably as guilty as anybody. They don't know any better. I'm going to just move on down. They won't be able to see me in a few minutes, and everything will be cool. And that gives them the opportunity to think that they've done something the right way, and so they're going to keep doing it. That's how Sharpton's got away with all the crap that he's got away with. He's been doing it, and there's people that like it.
What about a Jesse Jackson?
It's okay for Reverend Sharpton and the Jesse Jacksons of the world to point the finger and say that it's the white man's fault. You know what?
Well, you know, if Trayvon had killed Zimmerman, do you know we never would have heard about this?
You never would have heard about
correct.
It. It would have been a non-issue.
Right.
This goes on every single day. This goes through somebody killing somebody out there every single day. This
you
goes
people,
on all the time.
How many black kids have been killed up in Chicago since January? I heard that number in the last day or two, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And why aren't they in the streets over that?
Because
they're too busy
black on white. That's media news. That's not news. News to them, to the media, to the new media today, is to sit there and downplay white America, the people that actually are going out, not just white America, but I'm talking about people that are going out, hardworking people and so on. And there's black people out there, too, and they need to start standing up to these people. Because
that's true.
People are the ones that are holding them back. Their own people are the ones. But we get Ron, you're
sad.
Georgia boy. We got
it's
a call.
It's a sad fact, but black covers black. I mean, I hate to say that. White don't always do it, but black covers black.
Yeah.
It's a shame, and it oughtn't to be that way. And until we can get past this color issue and everybody be Americans, no matter what nationality or wherever their genes come from, we're going to have this problem. But, you know, and Sue said, well, I hope if the world was changed and everybody could be the same color. I said, yeah, but you know what human nature is? The fat people to start hating the skinny people, the blonde people to start hating the colored hair people, and the blue eyes that hate the brown eyes. And it's not the fact of the skin color, it's the human nature. And that's where we have to work, is on our own human nature. We're responsible for our own actions. I'm not responsible for what you do, but I'm responsible for what I do. And if everybody would get that, we'd smooth out and sail on a quiet sea.
You know, I do not think, Ron, that we had a race problem in this country anymore. I remember it bad when I was growing up, but we do have your fellow brethren down there, Ike Hall, from the Georgia Campaign for Liberty, and he's in the studio right now. We're going to get him on after a break here. Okay, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
Thank you, bud.
And we'll be back in two.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then...
Hey,
Yay!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Okay, and we're back with Soldiers of Patriotism. Thanks for all being here.
Yeah, and I had my mic off.
yeah, you did.
Soldiers of Patriotism, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. God, you know, you only do that like 18 times in your life. But anyways, conservativenationradio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps you protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. It's down there at the bottom. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Barbara, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Mr. Ike Hall for the from the Georgia Campaign for Liberty. And Ike, I don't know if you caught any of that that we were talking about here, but you're free to chime in on that. But welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure to be with you, Uncle Bain.
Now, can you tell us about a little bit about you? Now, you guys got training sessions that you're doing around Georgia and I think some of the South, too.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I'd like to introduce my organization for those listeners who are not aware of the Campaign for Liberty. The Campaign for Liberty grew out of the Ron Paul 2008 presidential campaign. I was privileged to serve as the state coordinator for Georgia for that campaign, and I was asked to continue my role with the organization as it blossomed into a political organization. And the mission of Campaign for Liberty is to promote and defend the great American principles of individual liberty, constitutional government, sound money, free markets, and a non-interventionist foreign policy by means of education, issue advocacy, and grassroots mobilization. And it's that last part there, the grassroots mobilization, that we are teaching activists how to do and how to do effectively in these classes that we are teaching all across America. And we've got two of them coming up in the South area, in the Southeast. One is the one that I think you're signed up for, Uncle Bing, at Chattanooga. And the other one is going to be the day before at Kennesaw. I don't know if you want me to go ahead and give you information about dates, times, and locations.
Well, yeah, you can. I mean, you know, the show is pretty much yours as far as to tell us, you know, what's going on. Oh, I wanted to say, you know, in your bio, though, you know, basically, and I read it, and it just struck me, you know, it just struck a chord in me. And you believe that freedom is an indivisible whole, and that it includes not only economic liberty, but civil liberties and privacy rights as well. So I'm assuming you're very big, staunch 10th Amendment supporter.
10th Amendment, 9th Amendment, all the way down. All the way through. In fact, I firmly believe that the 9th Amendment is possibly the greatest of these because it covers everything that the rest of the Bill of Rights doesn't explicitly guarantee. And, you know, and I think it's been woefully ignored throughout the history of this nation. And not only do the states need to take back their lawful authorities vis-a-vis the federal government, but the people need to take back their rights and responsibilities vis-a-vis the mindfulness.
Well, you also say in your bio on your page that, you know, the country is ailing. That's the bad news, and we kind of pretty much deduce that. The good news is that the remedy is so simple and attractive. A return to the principles our founders taught us. Respect for the Constitution, the rule of law, individual liberty, sound money, and a non-interventionist foreign policy constitute the foundation of the campaign for liberty. I mean, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Well, we're very proud of our mission. In fact, the difficulty of an organization like Campaign for Liberty is that we have so many targets that we can hit at so many levels. It's just amazing. It's mind-boggling how badly this country has been mismanaged and led astray. And it's up to the work of all of us to get back and bring, you know, bring the politicians back to where they fear us. Because they will not respect you unless they fear you. And that is the goal of the political leadership school that we're going to have on July 27th in Kennesaw, Georgia. I'll give some dates and I'll get some more times and details about each of these classes. And it's going to be in Chattanooga on July 28th. That's Sunday, July 28th. From 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I understand that this show is basically out of Chattanooga, but I might be able to drum up some support for the Kennesaw School as well. So what we're going to talk about in the at the Political Leadership School is, first of all, it's going to talk about the real nature of politics. You know, have you ever thought to yourself, if only I can educate the American people, the light bulbs will go on, they will understand what they've lost, they will understand the Constitution, and they'll be mad and they'll go out and do something about it. And it almost never happens. Or you say, we will educate the politicians, we will make them understand what is important about the Constitution and about the rule of law. And, you know, and you might go and you might even talk to some of them. And you might go to Tea Party protest and you might write letters to your congressman. And you know what happens? Nothing. Nothing, because they don't. Because, number one, you don't understand how to work the system. And there is a system. This class will teach you. This class will teach you how educating people alone won't result in change. You have to mobilize people. You have to get them mad, and you have to get them to act in a way that does what you need to do. And what you need to do is get politicians to fear you. Another thing that we're going to talk about is the biggest lie in politics, and that's how the political class uses your conviction against you, mm-hmm. and how to stop them from doing that.
So your class is pretty much a one-day event, right?
Yes, sir. It's one day. It's about 8 hours. It's going to last with an hour break for lunch, although usually people just eat at their desk and we pick up pretty quickly. That's for the Chattanooga class. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, July 28th, and that's going to be at the Chattanooga Courtyard Hotel on I-75, 2210 Barnes Drive. And you can go to the website at now I have to make sure that I have the event. It's the Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership is actually who's running the class. Campaign for Liberty is hosting this. And let me see if I can find a link for FACL. You can go to – I will forward this information to you, but you can Google for Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership. And that'll show you the events coming up, the Kennesaw School and the Chattanooga School.
Now, you guys pretty much are very intense as far as, and you have a lot of different instructors. Can you tell us about a little bit about some of the different instructors that are going to be at hosting these events?
Oh, sure thing. The most intense instructor that exists on this planet is a gentleman named Mike Rothfeld. I don't believe he'll be teaching these classes, but he's had a long history in the gun rights movement, the pro-life movement, and his organizations are no compromise. You know, and that's the thing. You will never get anywhere if you compromise your beliefs. If you don't demand at the outset exactly what you want, and let the politicians know exactly what you want, when you compromise, you lose power. Power is the name of this game, and it's a numbers game. You know, you need to bring more guys, you need to bring more votes in and more voices in on your side than the other people can bring in on theirs. It's about numbers. Elections are about numbers. This course will teach you how to win elections by just mobilizing a few key people and a few key groups. This will show you how to bring pressure to bear on politicians such that they will bend to your will. This course will tell you how to identify which politicians are your friends, which politicians are sort of your friends, which politicians are your enemies, and which politicians you should go after first. Because we all have a limited amount of time and talent and treasure. This class teaches you how to identify the targets that will get you the most members, the most money for your cause, as well as the things that you will do to hurt your enemies and help your friends. Another instructor in this course is Kirk Shelley, and he will probably be teaching these two courses in Kennesaw and Chattanooga. I've been to his classes a number of times. I always learn something new. I've seen this class taught about 7 or 8 times at this point, and it is always enlightening. I always pick up new information.
And the classes, I think they're roughly like $35 or something to join.
I think the class in Kennesaw is $40. We had a little higher fees. And the class for the Chattanooga, I think, is $35, although you may want to bring a couple of 20s just in case. But that does include lunch.
Oh, yeah, it definitely seems like it's going to be a worthwhile class. If you can hold on a second, we're just going to make a little bit of money here, and then we'll be right back.
Oh, we're all for making money.
Yeah. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution. All on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there, and we are a liberal-free zone.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And we're back speaking with iCall. I'm sorry. iCall for the Georgia Campaign for Liberty. And Ike, So your next class, you're going to have classes, what, the rest of this month, pretty much?
Yes, sir. We've got two classes coming up the last weekend in July, on the 27th in Kennesaw and the 28th in Chattanooga. And there are some other classes around the country, but those are the ones we're able to get for the Southeast. We recently had a class in Savannah, which was a huge success. It didn't have as many people as we're going to have in the Kennesaw and Chattanooga classes, but most of the people that attended have already said we're going to fight, we're going to organize our counties, and we're going to take them over. It doesn't matter how many people you wind up with. It's the size of the fight and the dog, as it were.
Right. And that's the whole thing. You know, there's a lot of people out there, I think, that are just sitting on the sideline, you know, and we need to get them off the sidelines.
Yeah.
Don't we? I mean, we have to get them off the sidelines. So, you know, even if you just, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm going to bring a friend or something like that, you know, bring a friend out to these classes and learn how to sit there and combat these people. Because they, look, as you know, they know the ropes. You alluded earlier, they know how to work the system. And normal people like us or like me or whatever, you know, we don't know how to work this system.
Exactly.
But we need to learn.
We need to learn, and there is a system. In fact, the fun thing that I witnessed in one of these classes is you had one of those libertarian, anarcho-capitalist types who just want to get everybody out of the system. He attended the class and started talking about, well, you know, I want everybody to just completely ignore politics and find other ways. And he was thrown out of this class because he says, bless your heart, you don't understand that there is a system in place and that we have to work against the system. If you don't understand that, if you're not interested in learning about the system, we don't need you here. I mean, yeah, he was refunded his money, of course, but but this is how serious we are. We don't want liberals coming, and we don't want they've done this enough over the years. This is to teach conservatives how to do this.
Yeah, and you also don't want the neocons showing up too, don't you? I mean, I don't consider myself one. But you want really everybody to have the ability to sit there and learn something. It's kind of like going to school. You know, we don't sit there and say, well, you can't come to school. But of course, there's certain people that will cause some kind of hardship to you either way. So, but you have to kind of discern profile, which I was talking about earlier. You know, profiling, but. The thing is that you guys seem like you're very, very intense, and that's one thing I like about the Ron Paul followers, man. You guys are very intense as far as what you do.
Well,
I have to tip my hat to you. Well, I'm wearing a do-rag right now, but I have to tip that to you.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and I would like to, if I've got a moment, to tell you, give you a really good example of how this method works on the ground. We had a recent situation in which the Georgia Tech Research Institute, I'm sure you've all heard of Georgia Tech, this is a branch of there, they do a lot of military contracting. They wanted to rent the Gilmer County Airport in order to fly unmanned aerial drones, surveillance drones, out of there. And they were going to pay the Gilmer County Airport, you know, some money to do that. But, of course, that is completely against everything we believe in for the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable search and seizure. Because who's to say that these drones can't be used for illegal surveillance? Who's to say that information gathered from the drones would not be passed on illegally to law enforcement, and they can basically, you know, track a car, you know, moving down the road. They can listen to gunshots. If you're firing a weapon on your own property at your own targets, you know, they'll pick that up and, you know, start sending people out there. So we were absolutely opposed to it. But it was a very small group in Gilmer County that learned these tactics and brought unbelievable pressure to bear on three county commissioners. And it was so much that Georgia Tech, GTRI, eventually withdrew their offer. And they specifically cited the huge amount of community opposition. And do you know what that community opposition consisted of? Seven activists. Seven.
Wow.
And not only that, seven people were able to bring the strength to bear. Now, granted, Campaign for Liberty also brought phone calls from all over the state to these three commissioners to tell them, do not do this, do not pass this. It never came up for a vote. What you always want to see is a vote, because even if you lose, you've got ammunition to beat them up in November, because the key to winning politics is marrying the legislative cycle to the election cycle. And everybody gets mad at what they do during the legislative session. Everybody forgets come November. It's our job to keep that hatred alive.
That's a good job to have, I tell you what, because that's what needs to be done, because, yeah, you're exactly right. People do forget. You know, they tend to forget things.
I'm really happy that you're coming out to this class, Uncle Bean, in Chattanooga, because it's going to be really great for someone who's already got a media show to learn some of these techniques, you know, to get people active and get people mad. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I don't know if that's going to make me a better talk show host, but...
little fire in the belly.
If you guys can, you know, teach me how to turn the mute button on my mic, I guess I'll be okay, you know. But we're speaking to Ike Hall, the Georgia Campaign for Liberty, and you guys are I'm trying to pull up your link here. I don't know if you ever found that, but I guess
do a Google search for Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership.
Okay. Yeah, and also you can look up Georgia Campaign for Liberty and get to your site.
Here we go. It's the website, the main website is FACLtraining.org.
FACLtraining.org.
Yeah. FACLtraining.org.
Yeah, it's a little cryptic there to get around some of the links, because, you know, you of course got, you know, the Georgia Campaign for Liberty, and then you get the FACL training website up too. So it's good to see that you guys are spread out. I'd like to just go ahead and do a little commercial here, and we'll get back to maybe take a call. We got a fellow Georgian on the line here, and I'm sure he's probably got a question or two. And we'll be right back.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to MyPyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
If
you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, welcome back to Soldiers of Patriotism. The number here is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Ike Hall, Georgia Campaign for Liberty. And it's pretty interesting. These guys got some very intense training classes that they do. And if you're not in the mood for them, if you're not in the mood for it, I don't think I would go. But the thing is that I would encourage everybody to go to these training classes because it's something that I think you need to know. You need to know how to fight these people. And I got a fellow Georgian, Ron, on the line here. And Ron, what do you think?
I'm going to my first. You listening?
Yeah, we're here.
I'm going to my first county commission meeting next Tuesday, and so I'm going to start learning how things work in our county down here in Catoosa. And
Catoosa, yes.
You know Catoosa, do you?
Yes, sir. I believe y'all are some rabble rousers down there. Up there, I love it.
I wish I could put my arm around one down here, but I hadn't been able to find one other than myself.
Well, sir, I'm looking to if I may, sir, if you can attend the Chattanooga Political Leadership School on July 28th, that's Sunday, July 28th, that's you'll probably find some of your Catoosa County confreres at that class. I believe some people from Catoosa have signed up for that event there.
Really?
Yes, sir. Yeah, this is the best thing about the Political Leadership School is not only do you learn how to win, you also learn who you're going to win with, because usually the people who are there are just as interested in this as you are, and you might find some other people from your at least your region of Georgia, not your actual county.
And isn't that a big aspect of the grassroots training, Ike, is to find a network of people?
It is absolutely.
Because with numbers, there's strength in numbers, sir.
Yes, sir. We do restrict the numbers. We don't train very many people at a time. We want to have plenty of chance for people to talk, to network, to ask questions, and to understand, you know, what they do going forward. And you know, you do have a statewide and a nationwide organization to help you out. So what are you interested in doing in Catoosa?
What got me started in this was our 16 county planning, 40-year planning commission that's turned into Thrive 2055 now. And that's what's got me interested. I want to know how far down the rabbit hole that we've gone in Catoosa County following this Agenda 21 garbage. And I believe we're too far. I believe we're almost too far down the hole to get out of it easy. It's going to take some work.
I agree with
Ron's
you, sir.
Ron's got a smart meter attached to his house.
I swear it. It makes me ill every time I go outside my house and look at it.
not to mention the stuff it's putting out, right?
Well, I mean, they got all kind of information on you now, and I've not been well in a little while, and I'm beginning to wonder if I couldn't blame some of this on that, because it sits right outside my computer room, right outside my desk. It's right there on the wall, and it emits these RF frequencies and communicates back to Dalton, where our energy comes from, our North Georgia Electric Membership Corporation is. And they get all kinds of information. They know when you leave, when you come home. They know when you turn something on and when you turn it off. And that's just not right. We don't need that kind of intrusion into our life. Good Lord. They read our mail. They read our email. They listen to what we're talking about right now. There's somebody listening to everything we say. And I guess my name's on the list somewhere, and probably have got a drone sitting outside the window, even as we speak. I'm not a very happy man.
No, absolutely, and we've got an entire country of people who are in exactly that boat. And until we learn how to take the power back and do it effectively, we're stuck. We're stuck with this getting worse and worse and worse every year. But we've already done some amazing things in Georgia. We've got the state insurance commissioner Ralph Hudgens singing our tune on Obamacare. We're able to defeat some very bad legislation in the state house this past year. We've beaten bad politicians, and we want to defeat a lot more. You almost said it. Sorry. we can teach you how to make your county commission fear you. We can make sure you understand how to popularize a campaign against smart meters.
That was okay back in 2007, and we didn't even know about it. They slipped it in on us. And that's what makes me ill, is all this stuff is being decided right out in front of us, and we're not even getting an opportunity to voice an opinion one way or another on it. They're just doing it because they're so much smarter than we are, you know? They know more.
That's one thing this class will teach you, is that they are not smarter than you are.
I know that.
You can outwit them, outlast them, outsmart them anytime you understand how they think.
Well, Mr. Hall, we got a break here, but go ahead and give us whatever details you want to give us, and we'll take it on the other side here.
You talking to me?
I was talking to Ike.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, go ahead and drop some links and whatever you want to drop.
Good talking to you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah, Ike, so the Georgia Campaign for Liberty, it's one website. And then we also have, it's on another sheet.
The Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership.
Yeah, the Foundation for Applied Conservative.
Can I ask something?
Sure, Barb.
The one thing, we have the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence all on our side. And the administration and those that don't like it, That's what basically we're fighting for. We shouldn't have to be fighting as hard as we are to go back to the principles of this country. It infuriates me. So maybe it wasn't a question; it was a statement.
No, it's a very good and profound statement. The one thing that this class did teach me is that the Founding Fathers knew what they were doing. And in fact, what they did is they created a system of checks and balances and jealousies that have protected this republic amazingly well for as long as it has. The things that we're seeing that are so horrible are things that can be fought against legally. And the jealousies of and the way that special interests are trying to hijack the system from the left and from the right, one of the lectors, Kirk Shelley, said the Founding Fathers would recognize America as we always say the Founding Fathers wouldn't recognize America. No, the Founding Fathers would recognize it perfectly well, and they would say, you know, you guys aren't doing too bad. when you compare our level of bureaucracy to European bureaucracy, to the the things that happen in third world countries, you know, the things that happen in places like, you know, China, Africa, we're doing okay. We just need to learn how to do it better.
Well, we need to...
Yeah, that's very correct.
You're talking about holding our elected officials accountable. And I do that. I mean, I, you know, call them, write them, and I got a reply from my representative about the immigration, and in that email that he sent me back was, I this, I that. So, you know, I emailed him back, and I said, it's not about you. You work for us. It's about your constituents, not you. And I haven't heard back from them. Oh, I'm so surprised.
Well, technically, they work for whoever pays, whoever buys their election.
Exactly.
They work for contributors.
Right. And Mr. Hall, I appreciate you being on the air with us today.
Oh, thank you so much.
If you want to stick around, you're more than welcome. We got a round table that we do later on. We got another guest online, I think, here. And,
unfortunately, I am going to have to leave the show, but I really appreciate the time and the opportunity to let your listeners know about our classes coming up in Kennesaw and Chattanooga. And I hope we've got some folks coming along to that.
Me too, and I think Chattanooga is going to be pretty good. That's a pretty good area to be to having a class in. So, but thank you so much for your time.
Thank you
for
very
being
much.
On.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks.
You take care, Ike.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay. Then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Soldiers of Patriotism. Call in line at 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And our next guest that I'm very proud to introduce is Usama Dakdok. And born in Egypt. And basically, Usama, welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be with you guys.
Thank you. Now, you were born in Egypt, and you became a Christian at the age of 11. Is that correct?
I was grown up in a Christian home. I got saved. I accepted Christ as Lord and Savior when I was 11 years old. But I did not. I was never a Muslim.
Oh, okay. But you studied Muslim. You studied Islam, and you know exactly what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I studied Islam all my life in school for 20-some years. So I have a couple of years Islamic law, Sharia, marriage and divorce. And so I've been studying also for the last 15 so years on my own.
Dude, let me ask you a question. Do we actually, just for your for our listeners' information, you head up the Straightway Ministry?
This is our ministry for the last 11 years here in America. Yes, sir.
And that's part of the Grace Ministries, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you something. Now, the recent problems here in Egypt, you know, we it seems like the United States has a problem with propping up governments where they shouldn't be meddling. How do you view, you know, the recent problems that we're having in Egypt?
Well,
and around the world, really.
Yeah, the problem we have in Egypt is go back to the years, a good maybe 8 years ago, when George W. Bush forced Mubarak to allow the people of Egypt, of all source of life, like the Brotherhood, to run for office. See, the problem with us here in the West, we believe in democracy, we believe in freedom, which is wonderful. And I would love to see every Muslim country in the world practice democracy and have freedom. But since we do not know Islam and we have no clue what Allah taught the Muslim in the Quran, when we open this door for freedom in Muslim world, which is controlled by, like, for example, in Egypt by Sadat, in Libya by Muhammad al-Qaddafi, in Iraq by Saddam Hussein, in Syria by Bashir al-Assad, when we open freedom in these countries and others, we will then allow the Muslim jihadists to take good hold of this country. And sadly, Bush forced Mubarak to allow the Brotherhood to run for office. Don't forget that the Brotherhood in Egypt, for a good 75 years before that day, they were trying hard for years and years to get into the politics, to get into offices, the positions of different government offices in the country of Egypt. But Egyptians did not allow them. And Jamal Abdel Nasser did not allow them, and Sadat did not allow them, and Mubarak did not allow them. But because we were forced by George W. Bush, then we allowed it. And we only got, 15% or so under Mubarak. And believe it or not, Obama, with his intelligence, with his knowledge about who are the Brotherhood, and he knows that he can literally turn this country of Egypt, as well as Libya, as well as Tunisia, as well as Syria, he can turn this country upside down and bring chaos, where he literally opened the door for the Brotherhood to take over the country. So he forced Mubarak. See, Bush only forced Mubarak to allow some of these Muslim jihadists to run for office. Now Obama took Mubarak out of office, and he replaced him with Mohamed Morsi, whom, by the way, very well known to Hillary Clinton. I mean, Hillary knew Mohamed Morsi's wife for years when she was in the White House with her husband, Bill Clinton. And he is, as we see now, Mohamed Morsi. He used to serve time in prison under Mubarak. Now he is a free Muslim man who is running for office with the help of Obama. And sadly, I say that when we allow the Egyptians to have democracy and have freedom, we did not prepare these people, which is all my people, or we did not educate them of how to have democracy and how to have freedom. People choose their leaders, and then we're going to end with democracy and freedom in Egypt. No. See, the Brotherhood is the only organized group in Egypt for years. They are trying to get to this position for 80 years. And with the help of Barack Hussein Obama, this illegal Muslim president of the United States of America, the Brotherhood were able to take over Egypt. Now, so many things happened in the last year. And I don't think American people, with all respect, most of the liberals and most of American people have no clue what is Egypt. Literally, if you ask people in the street, where is Egypt, you will have no idea. You don't even know where Egypt located on planet Earth. But now we've got Muhammad Morsi to control Egypt, and they start slowly changing the laws. Where the Egyptian Muslim, not just the Christian, the Egyptian Muslim said, no way, we will not allow this to happen in Egypt. And the dream and the vision of the Brotherhood to take over Egypt has been dismantled and has been destroyed just the last few days, as you have watched the news. And now, obviously, Barack Hussein Obama is not very happy, and his ambassador in Cairo is not very happy, and all the liberals in the world are not very happy. Why? Because these people, they don't care about the freedom or democracy, but they care about having chaos in the Middle East. Because I believe this is Obama's ticket for his third term. If we have chaos in Egypt, if we have chaos in the Middle East, Obama will stay in the White House for who knows, for maybe another 10 years or so.
Well, do you think that Valerie Jarrett in the White House plays a big part in how we deal with foreign policy according to, you know, Islam and so on?
Absolutely. This is the woman. She knows exactly what she's doing. And sadly, I mean, she's not only destroying the Middle East for the Christians who live there in Libya or in Syria or in Egypt or in Iraq or in Afghanistan. We have Christians all over this country. But she's even destroying America from inside when she meets with all these Muslims in America and asks them, what should we do? How we touch your people? How we communicate with people, with your Muslims in America? How can we give you high important jobs in our government to make peace with you? She's literally giving America to the Brotherhood, not just Egypt to the Brotherhood, America itself. I mean, we have this on record with FBI. We know what she's doing. Meeting with this Brotherhood in America and making this deal with them. This is sick, my friend. This is very sick.
Yeah, and we're propping them up. I mean, look, when Obama took office, we had the hand-kissing apologetic tour, you know, that went on for I don't know how long. I mean, I was getting sick at this man going around telling people that, hey, you know, kiss their hands, you know, whatever, hug them, kiss them, scrub their feet. And I guess, I don't know if it's naivete or if he's just, or if he does know what he's doing. I assume Valerie Jarrett does. But I'm trying to think of how that makes us look to the rest of the world. It has to make us look weak. I was getting sick to my stomach.
I was getting sick. You know, Uncle Bing, we know what's happening just in Egypt the last 20 days now or so. Obviously, sadly, we got distracted in America with George Zimmerman case in Florida, and we're going to get distracted the next month with this other new football player who killed somebody, and then we're going to get distracted with something else that's going to happen the following month. American people are talking about the ridiculous things, and they're leaving the most important things. So what we have right now, Egyptians, the Muslim in Egypt, figure out Obama. They know exactly what this man is all about. You can see this clearly in the big riots, in the big signs which the Muslim Egyptian carrying all over the squares, all over the country. You have 30-some million people, 53, 54 million Egyptians. Most of them are Muslims. Carrying signs with a huge picture of Barack Hussein Obama. And next to it says, Obama supports the Brotherhood. Obama supports jihadists. Obama supports extremists. And literally, they figure out Obama, and sadly, until now, all liberals in America, all Democrats believe Obama is a born-again Christian. Obama is the Messiah. He's the Savior, not just for America, but for the whole world. And we have a problem. Ignorance in America is beyond major. You cannot have a state major to see how deep is the level of ignorance among liberals in America. I don't know how to explain it to you.
No, I think most of our audience gets it. I think they do. And you listen to Soldiers of Patriotism. We're talking to our guest, Usama Dakduk, from Straightway Ministry. And he's talking to us about Islam. The number here is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176 if you want to opine. Usama, let me ask you just a straight up question. That's, you know, I can't understand it. I can't understand it, but I'm trying to find somebody that knows Islam that can tell me a straight up question. Do you think that there is such a thing as peaceful Islam?
Yes, indeed. Islam is very peaceful in a country where Muslims do not have the upper hand. Islam is very loving, very peaceful in a country when Muslims are minorities. Minority in Islam is less than 1%. When you move to 2%, now they're not minorities. They're just, they have the right, like everybody in the country. When they move to, I'm not going to waste your time with all this percentage, but around 5.5, 6, 7%, they are the majority of the country. So when Muslims reach to 6.5, 7% in America, you kiss everybody else in this country goodbye. And that's when you found out the real picture of Islam. Let me quote you a couple of verses from the Quran. In Quran chapter 3, verse 28, Allah commands the Muslims not to take the infidels for friends. It says that, do not take the infidels for friends, rather than believers. If Muslims take an infidel for friend rather than believer, they have nothing to do with Allah. They became infidels themselves. But then Allah said, but to guard yourself, to protect yourself, you can take an infidel for friend. And if you read the interpretation of Muslim scholars, not Usama Dakhdog, I'm not a scholar, but I can tell you what scholars said about this verse. For example, Ibn Kathir or Al-Jalayn or Al-Kubri, any one of them, it doesn't matter. They will tell you this can be practiced only when a Muslim are weak in a foreign land in numbers or in might, like they don't have enough weapon to launch war. As it is, I'm telling you right now, Muslim who live in America. See, Muslim in Europe, 30, 40 years ago, they used to hold signs, and the signs written in English, we love democracy and we love freedom. No kidding. 30 years ago, when I was in Egypt, some Christian men, my father's friends, who live in England, who live in France, who live in Holland, who live in Germany, they were trying to do exactly what I'm doing today in America. So when they come in our living room and we're visiting after church meeting, and my dad would say, how is things in Europe? How is things in England? How is things in Germany? These friends of my daddy shared with my daddy. And I remember this, I was what? 10, 15 years old kid. And they say, Europe is going in trouble. Don't forget now, my friends, I'm talking about 30 years ago. And my dad said, what is the problem? And they said, Muslims are taking over Europe. And my dad said, how? Oh, these people would tell my daddy, well, the whole sign in the streets of Europe, we love democracy, we love freedom, we believe in Jesus, we believe in Muslims. And Europe opened the immigration doors, open wide, allow all Muslims of Middle East come to England, come to France, come to Germany, come to Holland, come to Ireland. And guess what? These signs which the Muslims used to use in Europe 30 years ago, they no longer use in Europe. Why? They shipped all these signs to the Muslim in America. You know why? Because today, Muslims in Europe holding different signs, new signs. And the new signs which Muslims carry all over Europe today is democracy go to hell, freedom go to hell. And soon, I'm telling you, my friend, soon, these new signs which Muslims carry in Europe, it will be shipped to America within the next 15 years or 20 years or more. So yes, indeed, there is loving Muslims, those who live in America, for the next 15 years, I promise you. But hear my word, and hear it carefully now. This loving, peaceful Islam will not last in America. Give it 10, 15 years, 20 years the most, and you kiss love and peace goodbye. Why? Because Muslims practice Islam. As I shared with you, Quran chapter 3, verse 28, let me share with you one more verse. Quran chapter 47 and verse 35. For there, Allah said, do not be weak. Allah speaking to the Muslim believers now. Do not be weak calling for peace when you have the upper hand. Allah commands Muslims not to be weak, not to call for peace when they have the upper hand. And this is coming to a city near you in the next 15 years, 20 years in America. And that's when Muslims kiss peace goodbye. So they're doing it because they're practicing taqiyya. What is taqiyya? Protection. They're protecting themselves from us, America. Because if the American people read the Quran, learned the truth about Islam, as we have translated the Quran, to an accurate English translation. And with all respect, my dear brother, the Republican and Democrat alike, they both are ignorant and they both cowards. I'm talking about our senators. I'm talking about our congressmen and women. I'm talking about our governors, because these people, I have sent my new through English translation of the Quran, and I doubt any of them have read it. If they have read it and learned and know about Islam, and they're not doing anything from stopping Muslims from taking over America, these leaders of our country are the most coward men I ever seen in my life.
Well, Usama, I think, you know, there's people in this country, too, that have read the Bible, and they don't really understand Christianity. You know, you see what I'm saying?
But my friend, let me say this. You do not have to read the Bible to be a decent man. But if you read the Quran,
right,
you know how dangerous it is. People who believe this book, the Quran is loaded with verses, stand against our freedom of democracy, against our freedom of religion, against our liberty. And sadly, if we have read the Quran, we will stop Muslims from exist in the borders of the United States of America. It is illegal, according to our Constitution, for Muslims to breathe air inside the borders of the United States of America. And let me prove it to you. It's very simple. Did Obama kill Bin Laden? Yes or no?
Is he what?
Did Barack Hussein Obama kill Osama bin Laden, as
yes.
he claimed?
Well,
what?
He claims.
And we clap hand for him, and we give him 4 more years to destroy this country, because that is the reality. He only killed bin Laden for one reason, as he claimed, and we don't know if it's true or not, for one reason or one reason only, because he said it's a radical guy, it's a bad guy, and because he really want to win the White House for 4 more years. Okay? Now, did Obama commit a crime for killing bin Laden? Did he break any of the laws of the United States of America? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact,
no.
If you ask all the liberal senators and all the liberal congressmen and congresswomen and all the liberal governors, they would tell you Obama is a hero. They say, what did Obama accomplish the last 5 years? They would tell you, he killed bin Laden.
He accomplished a lot of stuff. He accomplished some of the destruction of his country with the Obamacare plan and with all these other little socialist plans. And his edict, his executive fiats. I mean, this man acts like a king.
He's actually accomplished to divide Americans.
Yes. I can get to this in a minute. But let me get my thoughts here with you. For the liberal Democrat, he is a hero. And if you ask, why did they tell you he killed bin Laden? Now, why did he kill bin Laden? Because bin Laden is a bad Muslim guy. Really? What if we open the Quran and read the words of Allah in the Quran and read the words of Muhammad in the Hadith? We see what? We see Osama bin Laden is a hero. He is a true Muslim. He is a believer in the word of Allah, who practices what Allah and Muhammad command every Muslim to do. So, if you open the Quran and say, Allah says 79 times, engage in war with America. Yes, indeed. Allah said that. Why? Because Allah said engage in war with infidels. And who are the Americans? But a bunch of infidels. How do I know America is infidels? Of course, if you have a Muslim guy right now, he will tell you, no, Christian and Jews are the people of the book. Okay, let's open the Quran, 929. Allah tells the Muslim, engage in war with the people of the book. Let's go to Quran chapter 5 and verse 51. Allah tells the Muslim, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. Let's go to Quran chapter 5, 72. And he tells the Muslim that infidel indeed are the Christians. 53, Quran chapter 5, verse 73. Infidel indeed are the Christians. Quran chapter 47 and verse 4. When you meet the Christians, chop off their heads until you have made a great slaughter among them. So that is Islam. So what Osama bin Laden was doing is exactly living the life of a good Muslim man. And Obama killed him. And that is justifiable by Obama and his liberal people. Let's take the same rules and apply it to the rest of the Muslims who believe in the same teaching of the Quran and the same command of Muhammad. Therefore, you see, Muslims in America are using our freedom, are using our religious freedom who would take over this country by building mosques and building Islamic centers and building masajid and building jawama and all the different names for the same thing. It's a mosque, all right? And then the day is coming where they will use these mosques as they are using it right now in Egypt to launch attack against Christians and others. They will do the same thing in America. Islam is one thing. It is the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the command of Muhammad in the Hadith. And Muhammad said in Sahih Muslim, I have been commanded by Allah to engage in war with all people until they believe there is no God but Allah and believe in me. I am his messenger. So Muhammad with the Quran, put them together. We have a problem in America. We have illegal people who are breaking our constitution, the freedom of religion, living in America. Right now, some of these Muslims in America practice honor killing. That is, killing their children if they leave Islam. And tomorrow, that's 15, 20 years from now, same people will go step ahead, step further, where in this step, they will be killing the Muslims, the Americans, who refuse to accept Islam. Why? Because that is the teaching of Allah in the Quran, as the command of Muhammad in the Hadith. As for my dear sister, she was saying a minute ago about Obama. You know, Obama went this country twice. The first time he lied to all the American people by deceiving them with the United Man. The man who's going to unite this country, black to white, red and blue, poor and rich, men and women, Christian, Muslim, and Jew, we're all good. He literally brought this, Lula Land, the Disney World, the cartoon of the love, and let's all get together and let's all be united, one country, one nation, and one wonderful people. Now, you know how he won the second election? Was the opposite of what he claimed to believe in the first election. Through what? Through division. Black against white, Spanish against American, poor against rich, Democrat against Republican. He actually divided the Republican against the Republican. I never see a deceiver. I mean, literally, almost Obama is as good as Allah. See, the Quran said Allah is the best deceiver. I think Obama is much good, as equal to Allah, or maybe a little bit better than Allah, that he won the election all over this country by causing division among the same people, all of them, whom he claimed 4 years earlier that he will unite them. It is so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous.
It's sick, Osama. It's sick, Osama. Hold that thought, though. We're going to just take a money break here. We'll be right back, all right, buddy?
Sure, brother.
This is great. This is great. You're doing a great job. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're conservative. I would assume that. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to all that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. We have your flag and proudly display your love for America and our conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner, and join the Conservative Nation Revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
And you're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism. I'm playing a clip, but it's not playing. But anyways, We'll get back to that. 718-305-7176.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farad, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue sky.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Welcome back to Service Patriotism. Number here is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Usama Dakduk from the Straightway Ministry, Straightway Ministry, and he's talking to us about Islam. And Usama, very good insight. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, do you think that Americans just cannot get their heads wrapped around what Islam is?
Well, absolutely. I believe most Americans have no clue what I'm talking about. Most Americans believe what we watch on TV. Most Americans believe what our president has told us. And sadly, first Bush, Clinton, second Bush, and Obama, these four men have lied and lied and lied to the American people for whatever reason. Political correctness, the business with Saudi Arabia, the foolishness, and I don't know what to tell you. So I can show right now clips of these four men speaking highly of Saudi Arabia, speaking highly of Islam, speaking highly of Muhammad, speaking highly of the Quran. I mean, listen to Obama. When he tell you Muhammad Arafah or Arafah al-Kahin or whatever the people he have working right now, he brag about them. We work for Homeland Security. So, for example, for Arafah al-Kahin, Obama said, well, Arafah al-Kahin is a good Muslim. He memorized the Quran. When you as an American who never read the Quran and you have no idea what's written in the Quran and you hear Obama bragging about some Muslim guy who worked for the Homeland Security and Obama is telling us that this Muslim guy is very good to the point that he memorized the Quran. Of course, you feel good about it. You know how many times I've been to in liberal churches in America while they invite some Muslim people to go and to speak in the church? Of course, these are liberal churches. You understand? Liberal churches means these are the churches who have gay and lesbian preachers. They marry gay and lesbian. They celebrate abortion. They are not Christian. They are just liberal church. Okay? And in these churches, Muslim, and these churches, Muslim will be passing Quran to the people for free. You go inside the church, and they see a stack of boxes open of Quran, and they start giving everybody a book. Now, I sat next to a lady, a liberal lady, who claimed to be a Christian in one of these liberal churches. And I asked her, can I look at your Quran, ma'am, for a minute? She said, no, you go get your own. They're giving away for free. I said, I don't need a copy. I just want to look at this one. She said, well, okay, you can look at it. I opened it, and I point to one or two verses in the book, which teaches the opposite of what these Muslims are standing to teach in the church. I mean, I remember in this liberal church in Orlando, the man said, we Muslim love Christian, we Muslim love Jews, we Muslim love America, we Muslim live in harmony with everybody. We are so peaceful, we're so loving. And I opened the Quran, and I gave to this lady, and the verse 551, it says, even in the English translation made by the liberals, Muslims, it says, all you who have believed, do not take the Jews and Christians as friends. So I said to the lady, would you look at this verse? She looked at it, and she read it, and she closed the Quran, and she was so mad, and she was so angry at me. Not at the Muslim liar and her puppet, whom her stupid preacher put to bring to the church to tell them about how loving people is. No, she got mad at me because I'm pointing to the same Quran given by the same Muslim in the church for her to read. And she got mad at me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
Right.
American who never read the Quran, they have no clue what I'm talking about until they read this dumb book and they figure out how dangerous it is to have Muslim in America.
Well, I guess that's kill the messenger, you know. I mean, they're after you because you're bringing in the message. And that's good. That's a good thing.
It's unbelievable. By the way, they called the cops on me in this church. They kicked me out of the church because I simply asked this Muslim man to read a verse of the Quran. The preacher stood up, he got mad, he kicked me out, and as I'm leaving the building, they called the cops on me. How lovely this is.
Oh, that's unbelievable. I mean, that is totally unbelievable. You say in some of your writings and so on that it's very, very hard to minister to the Islam faith.
The Muslim people, yes.
Muslim people. But you said that you kind of figured that out.
Well, brother, it's very simple. You want to minister to Muslim people, first of all, you need to know everything about what we believe as Christians. Because if you don't know where you stand, don't tell anybody where to go. Okay, you need to know where you're going and why
right.
you believe what you believe. Number two, you need to learn everything you need to learn about Islam, especially just the Quran. It starts with the Quran. That's why I always beg people, get my translation of the Quran. It's available on our website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org, or you can go to Amazon. On Amazon, look for the generous Quran. And now, when people read the Quran to Usama, I have no clue. Half of what is written in the Quran, I don't understand. I said, I understand that. That's why we wrote our new book. It's called Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, which is also available on Amazon, and it's available on our website. And these two volumes, 830 pages, is literally, I took the clothes off the Quran. I'm making the Quran naked. And anyone who reads this new book, the two new volumes, you'll have a laugh. I mean, literally, you're going to have it's like a comedy book where I show you the empty habit of Muhammad and his color. I show you the contradiction and all the error. That's why the subtitle is called The Revelation of Error. Because the Quran is nothing but a dumb counterfeit to what is written in the Bible.
What do we do as Christians to try to combat this?
Brother, it's all about knowledge. I'm telling you, I
went out. I don't know if you've heard. I assume maybe you did that. Up here in Tennessee, where we are, I am in Manchester. We had a meeting of sorts, and it was they were drowned out. It was. Basically, tolerance with Islam or with Muslims and that kind of thing, and they were drowned out by us. That we went up there in such force. And I don't think that the district attorney or the state attorney in this case, I think in Tennessee or in Memphis, the FBI agent, thought that there would be that many people there. But I've seen people from all walks of life, and they don't want this.
By the way, I know what you're talking about, brother. I know. But by the way, I was in Tennessee. I was almost an hour away from your meeting. But sadly, I have another meeting myself, so I could not leave my meeting to come to your meeting. I know what you're talking about. But if the American people understand the Quran, learn what is written there, you can literally end all this propaganda, interfaith meeting, or coexist ideas. Because this is nothing but a hogwash Islam. It is not what Muslims believe. It is a propaganda Islam which Muslims tried to convince us for the next 15 years. But then it will be too late. It will be too late.
Yeah. And one thing that came out of that meeting, too, is that one of the speakers there said they cannot live under our law, which is the Constitution, is our law of the land. And you know, that just got moves from the audience because we could not figure out why they could not live with that.
here's a fact. They're using our ignorance of our own laws as much as they're using our ignorance of their own book. You see, Islam is not a religion. It is a political movement. It's a cult. You cannot separate law, Islamic law, Sharia, from Islam. You see, in America, you hear liberal all the time. Well, you keep your Jesus in your church. You keep your God in your church. Don't force religion on the people. Don't force Christianity on the people. Even though everything we have in this country, our Constitution, is written on Judeo-Christian law. I mean, you think about the case of George in Florida. How did we find him not guilty? because he did not purposely kill this guy. He was defending himself. Where did this law come from? It is in the book of Leviticus. So where is the jury, the idea of having jury come from? It is biblical belief. It is doctrine written in the Mosaic law. And we still practice it today in the court system in America. But you see, those liberals who do not believe in having Jesus in public or in God or the statement in God we trust or one nation under God, these people are so ignorant of the reality of even the Constitution of America. It is written concerning by the Judeo-Christian law. Now, also these people have no problem for Muslims to ask for Sharia to be practiced in America. So they're rejecting God's law, the biblical Christian Jewish faith, but at the same time, they're embracing Islamic law. And let me give you a great example and proof of that. If you go to Oklahoma, and you see the people of Oklahoma voted not to apply Sharia Islamic law in the state of Oklahoma, and the conservative won, and the vote rate, the vote numbers were 70 against Sharia Islamic law, and 30%, ladies and gentlemen, 30% of people of Oklahoma said yes, they want to have Sharia Islamic law. Excuse me, there are less than 1% Muslims who live in the state of Oklahoma. Where in the world this 29% bluff came from? These are nothing but the foolish, dumb, liberal Democrats who hate Jesus, who hate God, who hate our Constitution, and they have no problem to support their good Muslim friends, the 1% or less who live in Oklahoma, and they wanted Muslims to practice Sharia Islamic law. And guess what? One liberal judge, just one liberal judge, this black judge lady, who has been appointed by Clinton, bless his soul, she turned this vote upside down, which means now, in the state of Oklahoma, Muslims can practice Sharia Islamic law. As a matter of fact, there's so many steps the Muslims have already taken inside America to practice many of Islamic laws. A good one is Sharia finance. And believe it or not, there are plenty of banks in America, plenty of insurances in America who are already right now practicing Sharia finance. And all of us Americans who have money or using Bank of America or Citibank or AIG or plenty of banks, check with your bank. You'll be surprised that all of us right now are giving 2.5% towards Sharia finance. That is money is given to charities, Muslim charities, which are nothing but Muslim jihadist organizations worldwide. We in America right now supporting Muslim jihadists. You and I, because sadly I'm doing business with Bank of America. I myself speaking against Islam, speaking against Sharia Islamic law in America, and I gave it 2.5% by using the Bank of America. Believe it or not, it is sick, and it is sick.
Well, it's hard to tell, Osama, where your money goes to anymore. I mean, you've got progressive insurance that supports liberal causes, sends millions of dollars to George Soros and so on. I mean, George Soros don't even have to work. He doesn't have to do anything. He just sits back and collects money. And that's, when we look at, and you brought up something earlier that I thought was just, it should be enough to scare anybody. Is that these schools, madrasas, whatever that you want to call them, that they're building in this country. We've got in Murfreesboro, we've got one or two the big ones that they built
yes,
over there.
Indeed.
And you're talking about when the time comes, these people are going to come out of there like cockroaches and try to get us. And I don't mean that. I'm just trying to make an illusionary point here, but we can't stop them. Stop them from building a mosque.
Brother, I'm losing hope every day. Every new day I wake up and I see Muslims are 1 inch ahead and we are 3-4 inches behind. I'm losing hope day after day. There is no chance for America to be saved from the cult, the barbaric cult of Islam, unless some huge things take place in this country, like maybe American Spring, like we saw Arab Spring in Egypt. We need American Spring in America, where literally American people rise out, millions, millions all over this country, and remove Obama from the White House before he finished his second term. Because I promise you, if Obama continued with his second term this next 3 years, he will have his third and fourth term, and it's too late to fix America. It's like the ship right now. There's a big crack in the ship, and the water is going inside the boat. And if you wait until more water in the boat will sink. Titanic is going to sink, and America is going to sink as we watch it in front of our eyes as Muslims will take over this country. They are literally,
well,
they're taking over our country right now. Go ahead.
You know, there's one big thing that really bothers me about Sharia law being in the United States. We have a constitution that states there will be no other laws except for ours. And for even the judge to say it's okay and that they're going to do this and bring Sharia law in is preposterous, and that judge should be thrown in jail because she swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, and she did not.
My dear sister, you need to understand that American people are naive, and Muslims are so deceivers to the point that you cannot measure them. They were able to take over Egypt. But see, the Muslims in Egypt are smart. They kick them out. They kick the Brotherhood out. And right now, they're taking over America. And CARE is the one. CARE is a Muslim jihadist. It is Hamas supporter. It is known by the Holy Land Foundation trial. You can go online and just download Holy Land Foundation trial, and you know what I'm talking about. And these CARE went and met with this liberal judge. And sadly, because the Americans are naive, they let it go. And sadly, because the Americans in Oklahoma are very divided. We are very divided. We did not have a vote. Can you imagine if all these people, the 70% of Oklahoma, have some unity, and they walk all the way to the court where this black judge ruled against their own vote and literally demand her to be fired, removed as a judge, and reforce their own vote. This will end it in America. Not one more judge in this country will dare, not one more judge will dare to stand up with the Muslim jihadists against our Constitution. But guess what? People say, oh, well, we did not have good luck. Oh, well, 70% said no. And one liberal judge turned it around. That is sick.
Right.
But the problem is because we're so naive and we're very divided. We're not united. We're not. Look at what happened in Egypt. I mean, you could never dream after the Brotherhood took over Egypt. You should listen to what Jamal Abdel Nasser said. We have videos available online. What Jamal Abdel Nasser said about if the Brotherhood took over Egypt. We have videos by Sadat said what will happen if the Brotherhood took Egypt. We have videos by Mubarak and said what will happen if the Brotherhood took Egypt. And all what they said was true. And the Brotherhood were able to take over Egypt after 80 years of trying. And in 1 year, the Egyptian people, they put their hands together, they got united, and they went and they took all these trash out of our government. Americans, you guys don't understand. You have so much power of democracy. You have so much power and freedom. In Egypt, we do not have freedom. Even though we do not have freedom, we removed the Brotherhood of power, and you have so much freedom. You have so much democracy, and you do not know how to use it simply because you are very divided. You are busy watching George Zimmerman on TV. And before that, you're busy watching football games on TV. And before that, you're busy watching the best singer or the best movie star and the best this and the best that. We are so distracted. We're not united as it was the few weeks after September 11th. Remember after September 11th? And I saw the flag of the United States of America. And on the flag, United we stand. And on the flag, one nation under God. What happened to this American flag? Do you still have this flag somewhere in your closet?
The flag is still there. The sentiment isn't. Osama, you know, that's just the way I guess it is, you know. But hopefully that changes. We do have Christy on here. Christy, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi, Usama. It's Christy. I'm only going to make a couple of quick comments, Usama.
Hello, Christy,
and I.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I've enjoyed the show the first half, second half. But quickly, I just wanted to say, Usama and I and a group from Florida have been talking about what's happening in our education system, and I think this is really important. This is Conservative Nation Radio. You need to know what is going on in our school system, our elementary school as well as middle school and colleges is false teaching about Islam. It is everywhere in the country and throughout our school system. Our children are being educated about Islam as a positive thing. They are being lied to about the history of Islam, the history of the Jewish people. And this is another source of corruption in our country. And parents, you can go to the school and check out your textbooks there. If you go to Usama's website, thestraightway.org, on The Straight Way and more, and then on those pages, there's a tab called Textbooks Lies. You will be shocked what they're getting away with in our education system. I wanted to mention that because the Muslim Brotherhood this morning, it was reported on Fox News, is funding two different schools in the United States of America. The Muslim Brotherhood is giving grants to these schools, and they will be teaching Islam, and they will be teaching Arabic. God help us in America.
And,
wow.
Yep, and we allow them. We allow them to.
Yes.
We are letting it happen.
Because we have to be so politically correct.
Yeah, well, you know,
absolutely.
The heck we're being PC anymore. Thank you, Christy. Barbara, we've got Dave Vance from Inside Tennessee on Monday nights. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, Barb. Hey, Bing. Thanks. Hey, great show. A lot of great information, but it is scary. I do like the idea of an American Spring, and I think he's right. You know, they have so little freedom, they just took it upon themselves and said, look, we're not going to accept these guys. That's what we're going to have to do. We are just going to have to literally make these politicians, judges, bureaucrats, whoever they are, afraid
and
of us.
You know what, brother, excuse me to interrupt you. Let's start with the liberal Republicans. Literally, let's go to our state.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Start with your own state and go to your liberal senators who claim to be Republican, who claim to be conservative. Get rid of him.
We got plenty. Lamar, start with Lamar and then Corker. By the way, that's one of the topics that we'll be talking about on our show tomorrow, Inside Tennessee. A couple things. Actually, tomorrow we're going to talk about the refugee resettlement issue with Joanne Bregman. Then we're going to have Carol Swain talking about the immigration bill that was, you know, has the support of RINO senators, including ours. And then Dave Nance is going to talk about the Constitution Party. So, there's a lot of people that are pretty much disgusted with the GOP, the gang of progressives, as they have become. So join us tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. Central. We've got some great guests. Hope to have a lot of great callers. And, hey, Bing and Barbara, this has been a great show, great guest. I appreciate it. I'm glad to know there's a good Osama out there. And appreciate what you do, and I know you're taking a lot of risk. And hats off to you.
God,
thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. Kurt, if you can squeeze in something here, we got time. We can go a little over.
I just want to say how much I appreciate the message that Brother Usama is passing out here. He is so right on, and of course we have our own Dr. Bill Warner here in Nashville who has been. And preaching basically the same message for quite some time. We just need to keep hammering, that's all, and keep the faith there, Brother Usama. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you know Brother Bill. I have been ministered with him in the past in your state, Tennessee. He's a very sharp man, very knowledgeable about Islam. And keep me and him in your prayer. That'd be awesome.
Well, we'll do that.
Osama, I want to, on behalf of me and Barbara and the rest of the show, I just want to thank you for being such a gracious and tremendous guest. I mean, we were supposed to have you on last week, but, things happen. That's radio. But I'm glad we were having you on this week because it actually fits in real well with everything.
Brother, thank you so much for having me on, and you're welcome to call me anytime in the future on any other topic. If you go to our website, there's plenty of seminars we teach. Just choose your topic, and I would love to come and chat with you and your audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Osama. And that's Usama Daknuk from the Straightway Ministry, straightway.com or the straightway.org.
.org.
And go visit them, man. They got some excellent material on there that you can review, get the book, and read it. And I guess get up to speed on it. I want to thank everybody for joining us today on Soldiers of Patriotism. I know Michael ain't here, but Barbara's here. That's close enough. but thank you guys. But thank you guys for tuning in, man. It was a great show. I had a great time, and hope to do it again.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite and tear my veins. Never did I want to be here again. And I don't remember why I came.